It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
Well, and good morning. Let's talk legal. But before we do that, let's wish happy birthday Mr. Wes Collins.
Yeah,
happy
you.
Birthday, sir. I won't ask the age. It's probably not a milestone.
Full disclosure, I'm 47. Let's just get it out there. Right?
You look good. For 47, he looks wonderful.
So good morning, Mike.
And happy New Year, gentlemen. I want to get that out there.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, so here we are.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to Wes. And so here we are, 2020, Mike. We're glad to be with you, by the way.
Likewise, gentlemen. I really look forward. You know, in the short period of time that we've been together, a couple of weeks, I've learned so much and took some of the stuff that you said on air to the listeners about having that conversation about, you know, wills and estate. I had that over the holidays. And you know what, guys and listeners? It wasn't that difficult.
Right.
You know, and in fact, it was like, oh, really? That's great. That's interesting. Right. So thank you for that. And for the listeners, the information that's in put out here on this show on Let's Talk Legal and Life and Taxes is invaluable, and
well,
it's free. So we thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Mike, today we're going to move into an area that is called dispute alternatives, okay, alternative dispute resolution, I think is what most lawyers call it.
It's a mouthful.
Alternative dispute resolution. And we've talked so often on the program, Mike, through the years about the cost of litigation, the delay, the time frame that it takes to litigate a file, particularly a superior court matter, the cost of that in terms of the depositions, the discovery, the witness fees, if any. It can be quite expensive, and it can certainly take many, many months, up to as much as maybe even a year, year and a half or more, to get a case to the superior courtroom. And so as a result of this, through the years, it's good to lay down the background here. There have developed some alternatives to this prolonged and expensive litigation. Now, the first one is that folks can always agree in writing to arbitration, and many contracts have an arbitration provision in them. And if they do, then the part, and there's then a dispute concerning that contract, that business deal, if you will, then the contract is going to control, and that matter would go to arbitration. The other side of the coin to, quote, arbitration, and then we'll continue to talk about and discern a few of the differences, is the word mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Mediation is a bit different in that mediation is a meeting of the parties as required by, again, state law. And our state law here in North Carolina requires that any matter that is filed in the North Carolina Superior Court, before it can take up the time of the judge and the jury, before it can be set down for trial or resolution, it is mandated, it is required that that matter be mediated. And so we're going to talk about what in the world does that mean.
Okay.
It's a day or two of meeting with the parties in lawyer offices. One side might be on the east side of the building, and the other side might be on the west side of the building. I'm being, you know,
facetious.
Facetious here. And in the middle of the building, there is a lawyer who has become certified in mediation, experienced, has taken courses with regard to mediation as to the procedures and the way in which the course of the day and or days proceeds. This gentleman and or gentlewoman will be kind of, if you will, the chairman of the board. They will meet with the east side. They will meet with the west side. And they will see what they can do to, quote, mediate the case. And so here we go. Mediation is a type of alternative dispute resolution, and arbitration is a different type of dispute resolution.
So if I understand that the mediation portion of it is a way to not use the court's time, the Superior Court judge's time, or the jury doing all that.
Right.
But the decision that could come out of mediation is binding. That would be the ultimate resolution to the case, correct?
Yeah, but it has to be by agreement of the parties.
Parties, yeah.
Right. So, you know, kind of backing up a little bit here, this alternative dispute resolution, really normally we're talking about mediation or arbitration. It's just an alternative to actually going to trial. I mean, that's really in a very simple way. We get questions from clients all the time. You know, they interchange the words mediation, arbitration, don't know what it really means. And so we've got to demystify that for folks, our clients
Let's
and others.
That.
So that's what we want to do today. But your typical situation in a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, whether it's small claims, district court, superior court, we're talking about, you know, our state courts. You know, if you don't have the alternative dispute resolution process happening, then it's just file the lawsuit, go through the potentially motions, discovery, go to trial, judge or jury makes a decision. There's all the expense and risk with that. Then there's the right to appeal. So that can be, as Cecil indicated, a laborious, drawn out, expensive process. So in many situations, we end up in an alternative dispute resolution, mediation or arbitration, which may shortcut that situation, that typical lawsuit situation, somewhat. So just kind of breaking it down, let's talk about mediation first. How do you end up in mediation? Okay. Well, you can always do that by agreement of the parties. I have a couple cases right now, for example, that I've been in communications with opposing counsel, the attorneys on the other side of the case. I haven't filed a lawsuit yet, and we've agreed to go ahead and submit this case to pre-litigation mediation. So what we're doing is we're selecting a mediator. We're going to all get together. We're going to see if we can settle it before we go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's just by agreement. All right. Typically when you end up in mediation in other contexts, is in North Carolina, it's going to be in a superior court case. For example, if you file a case in small claims, which is $10,000 or more, that's magistrate court. That's like Judge Judy.
Okay.
One of those type cases.
Sure.
Those cases don't get sent to mediation. Okay. District court. District court, when you're talking about family law matters, in many, many contexts, those type cases are sent to mediation. When we're talking about domestic relations, family law, that's in district court. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then in superior court, just about all, if not all, cases are required to go through mediation before, you know, we get to trial. Really the only way that you're going to avoid mediation. Let's say that you're just in, you're at loggerheads on this case with the other side. There's just no way we're going to be able to resolve it. I don't want to go pay a mediator. I don't want to go spend my day wasting my time. I don't want to do it. And everybody agrees. Both attorneys agree. And you convince the court there's no way.
And that's
this
the
case
judge.
Is going to settle. Yeah, the judge. There's no way this case is going to settle at mediation. Then perhaps the judge will let you not go through mediation. But it's not, that's not all that common. Most judges want you to try to get together and mediate. And I have over the years, doing this 20 years now, have certainly settled cases at mediation. I didn't think we were going to settle at mediation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's just a different context. You get, you know, if you're talking about trying to negotiate a resolution with the other side, you know, that can be a very difficult thing because one lawyer trying to get in touch with the other lawyer's away. He's at another mediation. He's got to call you or she's got to call you back. You know, there might be multiple parties on each side. You've got to get everybody satisfied. Well, if you get everybody in the same room, basically, and you have a skilled mediator communicating from one party to the next, as Cecil was saying, from room to room, that process and that kind of framework and that playing field in many cases just sets the case up for everybody seeing, yeah, look, now I've heard what the other side says. I now understand it better. They've heard me. I feel like I somewhat had my day in court because I've been able to, you know, my attorney's been able to lay it out there. You know, maybe we were able to resolve the case. But remember, the mediator who is an attorney in mediation, their job really is not to serve as judge at all. They're just a facilitator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, moving from room to room.
That's right. Yeah. All they're doing is trying to communicate to each party, each side, really convey offers. And in many cases where you're in mediation, you'd be surprised if you've never done it before. The mediator might come into your room and they want to know what's your offer. Okay, my initial offer is $50,000. All right. Well, you would think the mediator would be able to go into the other room and come back in about 15 minutes and get the counteroffer.
Yeah.
Well, in many cases, the mediator's gone for an hour or more.
Oof.
Because there's just a lot of things that need to be said in the other room that we don't even know about, you know. And so it could be a laborious process, a drawn-out process, but in most cases, in almost every case, if you settle a case at mediation, it's going to be cheaper than actually not settling it and then going
taking the next step up to court.
And then trying the case.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the most important thing to remember for the listeners about the difference between mediation and arbitration is that mediation is a situation in which the parties are brought together to try to get everyone to agree. If you don't agree and you're a party, it doesn't settle.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the main difference there. We need to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. Okay. Let's let that sink in. That's pretty heavy, but you made it in black and white. I understand it.
Right.
Okay.
I have a tendency of making things heavy.
That was pretty good, though. No, that was pretty good. I think you broke it down and that the listeners can understand. If you have a question, please call us at 252-247-7282. We'll be right back with more Harvell and Collins. Let's Talk Legal. Ben, welcome back to Coastal Daybreak. We're in a great discussion here with Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins, and Let's Talk Legal. And you can add to the conversation if you have questions or comments. Call us at 252-247-7282. We're talking about and trying to break down the legalese-ness, if that's a word, of mediation and arbitration.
Right.
And we were discussing, Wes, you were breaking it down in very easy terms to understand the mediation. Now, if the mediation isn't successful and we got to move it into superior court, is what has already transpired in those rooms you describe where both parties are separated, can that be used in the court of law,
right,
when it moves up to super?
It's totally inadmissible. Okay, that's
it is.
The buzzword we use is you can't come to court and talk about anything before the jury, put on any evidence at all about what happened at mediation. Mediation is a safe harbor, basically, to allow the parties to communicate freely about what anything, really, anything that's being said, offers, counteroffers, that kind of thing, cannot come in, you know, at a trial. So you're safe to make those type communications. There's also, as a side note, there's also a rule of evidence, Rule 408, that precludes any type of settlement negotiations at all to come in. For example, if attorneys write letters back and forth about settlement, well, the jury's not going to hear about any of that because that obviously it would be prejudicial, be more prejudicial than probative to whatever the case is about. So those type things are protected because there's a public policy toward what? Trying to get cases settled if we can.
Right.
I mean, we're not necessarily in the business of just trying to make people go to court. We're trying to resolve their dispute. And this alternative dispute resolution is, in many cases, a more efficient way to do it as opposed to going to court. So there need to be safeguards there, such as, communications, settlement offers, so on and so forth, that mediation would not be something that can be used in court.
So you got to change your whole strategy then from the mediation rooms into the courtroom, because you got to impress those 12 jurors.
Well, you've got to do that. And, you know, there's other things that you take into consideration. Although the things that can be said in mediation can't be used in court, you don't always go into mediation and show all your cards. Because, for example, the other side might not be aware of a problem they have with their case that if you let them know about it, they might be able to fix it before trial. A lot of strategy every step of the way when we're talking about litigation, even at mediation.
Yeah.
So moving back to arbitration now.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
As I said, mediation is a situation where the parties come together, they try to settle the case. In the event they don't agree, it doesn't settle. Mm-hmm. Arbitration is different. Arbitration, you actually have an arbitrator who serves as a judge. The judge makes a final decision called an award. This is the award. This is my final ruling. Okay. This is not a Superior Court, District Court judge. It's a lawyer.
Okay.
Okay. So how do we end up in arbitration? Well, there's several different ways. One way would be, let's say you have a contract that you've entered and there's a breach of contract and the arbitration or the contract has an arbitration clause in it. Well, either party, in most cases, depending on the language of the contract, may trigger that arbitration clause and say, oh, we're not going to go to trial. We're going to go through the arbitration process instead. Okay. In other ways that you would end up in arbitration could be by agreement. The parties just say, well, we'll just agree to arbitrate this. In many cases, when you agree, it's a binding arbitration. And what binding means is whatever the arbitrator says, you can't appeal it. We're done.
That's it.
Yeah. That's by agreement. Or another way that you end up in arbitration would be in a small claims context, like your Judge Judy type case. Mm-hmm. Let's say that there's an appeal from a decision at small claims. Small claims is going to be less than $10,000, but you have a right to an automatic appeal from whatever that decision is by the small claims court judge, the magistrate, within 10 days of the entry of that. And that immediately kicks it up to district court. That's the next level of court.
Sure.
But before you go to trial at district court, most cases are then selected for arbitration. And you go for a one-hour arbitration, a quick one, okay, before an arbitrator that parties agree upon. And it's non-binding, though. Okay, it's an attempt to try to resolve the case that started out as a small case in small claims court by arbitration. By basically having a somewhat informal arbitration, putting on your evidence and letting an attorney who's the arbitrator make the decision. That also is subject to an appeal. It's non-binding within 30 days, and that is, you basically just start over when you get to district court. Okay, so those are the different aspects of when you end up, in arbitration. So the binding, non-binding part of that is pretty interesting, though,
yeah.
Because why would you bind yourself? Well, the reason you bind yourself is because you don't really know what the arbitrator is going to do with the case, obviously. You're going to put your best foot forward. You have a feeling with what the ruling is going to be from the arbitrator. But, you might not be happy with what the arbitrator does, or the other side might not be happy with what the arbitrator does as their final ruling. If you're in court, well, and you're not happy with what the judge does, well, there's another level. Send it to the Court of Appeals.
Sure.
Which costs money, which takes time.
Yeah.
So why would you agree to a binding arbitration? You might have to because of the contract you've signed, like for the purchase of a car or a credit card or something like that. But the reason that you would proceed to a binding arbitration is for finality.
Get it behind you.
Get it behind you.
Yeah.
No party can appeal. We can't drag this out any further. Whatever the arbitrator does, we're done. And, that's where we are with regard to that.
Interesting. Yeah. So the court wants it settled in those two rooms or by an arbitrator, the least, they don't want to come in and use the time of the court and have a jury pulled
right.
And sit before that.
Right. So if you're a party to a lawsuit, or you know someone who is, there's a listener out there and who understands that their case is going to arbitration, okay? And this could be arbitration also, for example, in a insurance context. I mean, we got a lot of folks out there still dealing with insurance claims from Lawrence.
Yep, storms.
Unfortunately. Then primary question, is this binding or not binding? Is there a right to an appeal from it? Now, in the event that it's a binding arbitration, there's no question you need an attorney to represent your interest at that arbitration. You probably need an attorney to represent your rights at any arbitration, period, because the finality that could potentially come from that arbitration. When we're talking about mediation, in many cases, you probably want an attorney, but the kind of the cardinal rule with that is that if the other side has a lawyer, don't go into it without one.
Do some people try to do that? People who watch a lot of Law and Order say, hey, I could do that, and they sit and they represent themselves?
So many people over the years come to me where they have gone to some type of proceeding. A lot of them small claims, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You can go
the Judge
give
Judy
it a shot.
Type scenario.
You can go give it a shot in the small claims, but don't come to the attorney 11 days after the ruling from the small claims court, which is one day too late when you're not happy with what the small claims court did, and ask your attorney to file a notice of appeal. You only have 10 days to do that. So in certain situations, it's okay for individuals to represent themselves, you know, in these type proceedings, but you need to absolutely know where you are with regard to the right to appeal. Now, with all that being said, the general thumb is don't do it.
Don't appeal.
Don't represent yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that too many times.
Don't represent yourself in arbitrations, mediations, so on and so forth, especially if there's another lawyer involved.
Well, you talked earlier at the top of this topic about the costs, and without getting, I know each case is varied, but is both party responsible for the cost? In other words, the loser doesn't pick up the other, or the winner doesn't pick up the.
In almost every case, those costs are, well, in a mediation, the costs are shared.
Shared, yeah.
Okay. And normally a mediator is going to charge a couple $100 per hour plus a couple $100 administration fee. So, you know, a couple $100 an hour. If you're there all day, then I can add up.
Sure.
Arbitrator is also entitled to compensation, but if we're talking about arbitration in a small claims context, that's normally a pretty short process.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we're talking about, you know, arbitration from a contract, we could be required to have multiple arbitrators. I've had several cases, many cases before, where you don't just have one arbitrator, but you have a panel. So basically, I pick an arbitrator, the other side picks an arbitrator, and then they both agree on the third. And the ruling of two out of the three is the ruling.
I gotcha.
Now, that can kind of get expensive, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about that, you know, that many lawyers sitting there listening to your case and then having to make a decision. So
this is good. The takeaways I'm getting so far is that it could be expensive, and you should get good legal representation and not try to do it yourself. And welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins in the waning minutes of the show. Cecil, what do you want?
Well, so Mike, you begin to see that, you know, dispute resolution and alternatives to be able to get parties to resolve their conflict is just such an important area.
Absolutely.
Everything does not have to go. We ought to try to find some statistics between now and next week. It would be interesting to see what percentage of the cases are settled. And I'm sure those percentages are out there relative to, you know, when I say settled, I mean during mediation. But it is absolutely a very effective way to get parties to understand each other's perspectives, each other's positions, and hope that that mediator, who again is board certified and has a lot of experience in mediating civil cases, is able to bring the parties together.
Yeah. And like what Wes was saying is to get finality to it, get it behind before you have to then get to the next step and go
That's
in the court
right.
and start basically from scratch again as far as attorneys go.
Right. Correct.
So you want to get some conclusion to some closure to the event.
No doubt.
So
okay, thank you, Mike.
Thank you. And if you want to get further information from the guys at Harvell and Collins, you can check their website, harvellandcollins.com, or give them a call, 252-762-9050. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Thank you, and happy birthday, Wes.
Thank you.